Love this podcast? Support this show through the supporter feature from Acast. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
I don't know that it would make a difference. Hang on. I'm nervous. Welcome to Ambridge on the Couch, an in-depth look at the Archers with me, Harriet Carmichael, Jeff Thomas, Lucy V. Freeman. She presses the buttons.
Or not, and sometimes.
Is it still recording?
It is.
And our executive director, Cooper. Now, before we make a start, Cooper could have a role barking if the red light goes off after
yes.
4 seconds. You could train him, Lucy.
Jesus, he barely knows his own name. I think...
Well, everyone else does, so surely... Isn't that the first thing they are supposed to learn?
He still hasn't understood. I cannot throw the ball for you again unless you give me the ball back in the first place. And if he hasn't grasped that, holding out a lot of hope for him being able to recognise a red light going on and off.
I think William could train him.
Do you?
So it's just, you know, that thing of rewards.
Yes.
When it's a flashing light, when it doesn't flash anymore, you give him a doggy treat.
Okay.
If he barks.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
It's that simple, Lucy.
Okay.
So it'll take a week.
Thank you, Graham Hall.
Now, before we make a start on your emails, let's have a recap on what happened this week in Ambridge.
This week in Ambridge was brought to you by a lot of important business names.
Business.
Schaefer Bass. Chaff and Webster. David and Jimus hunting down business people of indeterminate job titles doing unspecified business all over the place. Oliver offering Georgie unlikely sums of money to do business ventures. Oh, it was like Howard's Way. We began the week on a fun day out with Helen, Lee, Tom and Natasha, something I never want to do again in this world or the next. Tom put his foot in it lavishly about how important it was to spend time with your children, as Lee glumly reviewed the pictures on his phone of his children having a completely brilliant time without him. Meanwhile, Natasha told everyone excitedly about Novartis and Shitstorm being approached about becoming the face of chemical fertiliser. And everyone went, ha ha ha, oh yes, that would really be a terrible idea, wouldn't it? Except Natasha, who went a little bit quiet. So it became immediately evident that within a matter of hours they were going to be involved in more toxic waste than Krusty on a wild swimming trip. Natasha was clopping about the farm, trying to persuade Tom, and seemed to achieve this by telling him that not letting the twins take part in this photo shoot would be tantamount to child abuse. So he gave in, great wet Nelly that he is. More family troubles for Brian Aldridge, which were solved when he finally managed to get them all out of his house. He swept Alice out with a broom and adopted a defensive kung fu posture in the doorway in case she felt like coming back in again. All this was designed to pique our interest in the fact that Brian is having cookery lessons. Oh, goodness, how astonishing and hilarious. And it is 1973, isn't it? I just wondered. Jimus has now moved away from imitating the Black Panthers and has moved on to Gandhi, which should at least be more peaceful. In the spirit of Gandhi, he put on some sandals and went to visit David and say sorry, and pulled the elderly person trick of offering him a present, which turned out to benefit the old person, namely being on his quiz team. Elizabeth said Jimus had two brains, which is good, as with David and Elizabeth both on the team, that makes two brains. Jimus asked Elizabeth if she thought David would mind him calling their quiz team Team Detente. Mind? He won't have a clue what it means, Oliver. You'll be fine. Elizabeth had a very bad cold and Oliver reappeared. Elizabeth was celebrating 50 years of royal visits to Borchester. There was one of them, Princess Margaret, who didn't enjoy it and never came back. Defo worth celebrating that. Freddie had assigned Oliver to show people round the downstairs loo and the septic tank at Lower Loxley. So there was a rebellious uprising of him and Neil in which they overthrew Cliff and Diane in true peasant revolt style. As part of his study, Oliver has learnt the Pargeter family motto, which is Cassis tutissima virtus. It means, apparently, Nigel was a massive helmet. We're still all fussing about Georgie's party. Something, I think, is entirely academic, as Georgie is such a horrible human being, I can't even imagine anyone would want to come. Grandma and Nana are still Team Georgie, and Ed and Will laughingly refer to Georgie as a cheeky beggar, when in actual fact, he's a nasty little shit. I kept being reminded of Georgie this week for some reason, and I realised why. When I'm walking my dog, who is a bit anxious, fairly often some nasty alpha male dog will come galloping over, snapping, while the owner shouts from half a mile away, either, "Don't worry, he only wants to play," or, "Oh goodness, he's never done that before." This is Oliver Sterling and the entire Grundy family's attitude to Georgie, with the exception of Eddie and Neil, who both seem to get shouted down when they try and alert anyone else to the problem. I know love is blind, but it's not that stupid. Anyway, while Will was removing the tinsel and the vibrating butt plugs from the back of the limo, him and Will discussed Oliver's frankly astonishing scheme to give Georgie $5,000 to produce a business plan for a venture. No one seemed particularly keen to get any more specific about what a venture might be, thankfully, as the last thing we want is Georgie running through a series of cockeyed apprentice tributes while his doting relatives applaud wildly. Once Ed had succeeded in breaking the limo by starting it up, Georgie got all huffy again, so Will promised to spend a fortune on getting him and his grotty little mates into town. Georgie bewilderingly seemed to refer to Emma, Will and Ed as a sort of thruple and got a trifle incelly about the whole thing. And finally, ructions at Bridge Farm. According to Helen, a window that allows people to peer at Clary and Susan and a herbaceous border full of carrots is an entirely new direction for Bridge Farm. Straight down the loo, I'd imagine. She is hopping mad, not, I suspect, because of Schaefer Bass or because of Tom and Natasha's absence from the open day, but because her own children are boss-eyed psychos who would only ever be allowed to advertise landmines. The end.
No, Lucy, it's because she doesn't want to commodify them.
Actually,
I just don't know anyone that would want to commodify their kids. Why would you want to make a quick, easy buck off your children?
How much is your daughter getting again for Peppa Pig?
I thought that Helen, though, was quite right.
Yes.
Quite bloody right.
Yes. I think it's
Tom has been done. He is wet as a sodding wet doggy nose, isn't he? He's just so
really
pathetic.
Is.
He didn't even put up a fight. Natasha just went, "We are doing it. Actually, we are.
We'd be mad not to. Don't think about it too much. Anyway, I said yes." It was so evident that she'd already said to that woman, whatever her name is, Nell or something.
Called Nell, yeah.
Yeah. Yes, of course. How much? God, we'd be bloody mad to give that up, wouldn't we?
We have principles, actually. Yeah. Okay.
Unfortunately, there's no price that can be put on our principles apart from what was the figure you just mentioned? Well, turns out that's exactly it. Yes.
But Tom is so thick, because if you're going to do that on the sly, make it as discreet as possible. Mm. Maybe get a chaperone, a professional chaperone.
Yeah.
Hey, if you're going to make all that money, pay for a babysitter to go with Natasha.
Yeah.
Or, you know, and then Natasha could be, she doesn't want to be involved on Monday. Because
pay to get her mum down. Her mum could go with her or something.
If they're
yeah.
making, what are they going to be making? Like $60,000 or something. If
it's,
Or, you know, something ridiculous. Then they've got the money to be clever about it.
Yes.
Not that I'm advocating anybody does sell their children to advertise chemical warfare, but there are ways of being clever.
Yes.
And
unsurprisingly, ways of being smarter about it than Tom Archer. Yes.
I was so happy, actually, though, that Helen immediately cottoned on and we didn't have.
Yes.
Because that would have been the obvious thing, wouldn't it? And actually, the fact that she just went, "It's so obvious what you're doing."
And then
Tom.
She said, "So it's Manchester then?" And he went, "No, London." "Oh, Natasha said, did she?" Yes. I mean, even if she hadn't twigged,
because it would have just annoyed all of us.
Yes.
That would have been the obvious route to go down. But I was really pleased, actually. But, and of course, Pat and Tony are going to. But also, I mean, Tom, she has such a right to be angry with Tom, because they are the brand, aren't they? And so if it is leaked anyhow, you just go, "Oh, right, sorry, your McDonald's then, you're not. Mm. I'm trying to think of some famous brands that are well, I mean, most of them are a bit hypocritical, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But you know, it's just, I think, do you need that money, Tom? Do you? Mm. Do you?
You can't have principles when it suits you. And the whole point of principles is doing the right thing, even when no one's looking. So,
yeah,
you know, doing it in secret is, it doesn't matter whether you're doing it in secret or doing it in public. Doing it at all is the wrong thing if your entire mission and ethos of your business, it's what bankrolls it, is your ethical standpoint.
And also, it's not them doing it. It's their kids who would be doing it. And actually, there is that thing, isn't there, of your kids should their, you know, their permission can never be asked in the future.
Yeah.
And if they've got a worldwide perpetuity buyout, then those images might well still be floating around in 30 years.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be great, the fallout from this, Lucy.
But do you remember when Natasha first came to the village?
Yeah,
and
with
everybody,
all her credit cards.
With all her credit cards. And she was all very exciting and makeup-y. And she...
That was her thing, wasn't it?
She kept making everybody...
Will you be my friend if I put some lipstick on you? Thank you. That'll be £5,000 for the makeover, please.
Yeah. Also, she... They all thought, she is one of us, Tom, because she was all fruit trees and digging holes for the fruit trees and the fruit and the juice and all that. And then he discovered that A, she was up to her oxters in debt, and she ate really shitty food.
She didn't eat
organic food. She ate really, really awful.
I don't remember.
She'd have like bags of sweets and things for breakfast and stuff like that. So she has never had the principles that they've had. Her commitment to organicness, organicity, is simply a marketing ploy.
Yes.
It's not anything deeper than that. Whereas theirs is kind of like a way of living. And hers has always just been a marketing gambit, which can, of course, just be jettisoned whenever it's a bit inconvenient, if you're not very bright, and they're not. But, you know, she would be the one that would crack, because for her, it's not really something she really believes. She believes in the monetary aspect, but not the actual ethics.
Yeah, completely. Yeah, she doesn't have the bridge from principles that Helen and Tom have been born with. Or, you know, have had dug into them, haven't they?
Literally, yes.
But that's why Tom, I think Tom's going to really struggle with this.
Yeah.
And I think what's going to happen is he pulls them out at the last minute, or there's going to be some...
Yeah.
Which would be really inconvenient for everyone, because then the studio loses money, and the agent, you know, and the photographer loses money. I don't know. But I feel like...
Maybe Rex could be available.
Yeah, he's totally available. Yeah, he looks absolutely stunning when shot in front of a nuclear...
power station.
PowerPoint, I was going to say.
Can you imagine him standing there? I'm radioactive.
Just gel his hair up a bit.
I'm hungry.
My mummy made me do it.
My fingers have gone green.
Why does his face look a bit bloated?
Poor little Rex.
I think it's a good... But I loved that. I loved the contrast between that, as you said, that pukesome family day out.
Yeah.
When Tom was just being such a twat, wasn't he? And
yeah.
But they were all trying so hard to pretend they were a sort of happy-go-lucky,
homogenous family unit.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then I loved that. And then I loved the fact that we ended with just that row and Helen going, "Not you."
Yeah.
But I do think, bloody Tom is so selfish, because it's one thing taking the job, and it's another thing to lumber his family in. If he's a key part of this stupid open day, it's outrageous that why can't Natasha take both kids? I mean, come on.
I know
it's probably hard, but at the end of the day, there's going to be photographers and light. You know, you're not. She'll be fine.
Yeah.
She is so selfish. And Tom is so selfish.
She's very high maintenance, I think.
They are hideous, Lucy. Yeah. I hate them. I hate them. Maybe Tom's going to end up giving the money to charity or something.
It's just going to, it's, he's going to suddenly realise that she is nowhere near as committed to this stuff as he is, and that he's been deluded all the way along. Because his life with Natasha so far has been a sort of series of shocks to the system.
Yeah.
Because he discovered that she had this massive credit card debt that he didn't know about. He discovered that she wasn't into organic food and stuff like he was. And that there's going to be... Yeah, that she disappeared. There's just going to be this sort of series of revelations about Natasha. And at some point he's going to think, I don't actually know who I've married. Because, you know, what else is there to come?
But it's a bit like... You always end up, I feel bad that we've ended up blaming the wife, because mm-hmm. I feel like yeah. it's like, I remember when the, is it one of Princess Anne's sons got married to a girl called Autumn?
Yes.
I think they've split up now, but I remember when they got married and they sold their story to Hello. Yeah. They sold the wedding to Hello, and I don't think the money went to charity. So there was a big hoo-ha about how, it, you know, how they were exploiting taxpayers and all of that sort of thing. And the media obviously blamed the American wife,
yes.
the Canadian wife.
What does that remind us of?
Exactly.
Here we are again.
Yes, exactly. And so we're here again with, you know, it's always the wife who is the outsider who's come in and sort of, you know, manipulated the husband. But when actually Tom should just go... you know, it's not Natasha's fault. She hasn't grown up with those principles. No. You know, it's Tom's weakness.
And if he'd said, I mean, she was following him around the farm going, Tom, 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 until he sort of went, yeah, what? But then he ended up lying to his sister. He's trying to sort of blur the truth to his family. He didn't say directly no to her. He sort of fudged it. She did that ridiculous overblown, basically the children are going to die unless they do this. And it will be your fault, Tom. And then he ended up doing it. If he just stuck to his guns and said, no, I'm sorry, that's just not something I can do. She would have had to back down. But she, you know, because she loves him. But she didn't. She could see that he was wavering because he's a dick and he just doesn't have a backbone. And she just leant on it and over he went. That is her fault, but she's just exploiting what's already there. If he'd fought back, she would have given up.
Yeah. Or she would have gone, fine, I'll take them on my own.
Yeah.
And then they would have had to just clear up the mess later. But at least Tom would have stuck to his principles.
Yeah.
It was a good week, though, I thought, wasn't it?
Yes. I did love as well Helen's first thing. What do you think Mum and Dad are going to say? Why? Are you going to tell them? Maybe, maybe not. I thought, my God, they've been having this row since they were, you know, in a den when they were 4 and 6.
That's why it was so clever that they started on that awful day out, which could only have been hell. Because they, and also you got the impression as well. I immediately got the impression that Natasha was really, you know, when you're forced to go on a day out with your in-laws.
Could somebody give me a hand here, please?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, it's me holding you up, is it? Sorry. Yeah. Well, I'm the one trying to unpack the fucking buggy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if you...
No, don't hold that. I don't need any help holding that, do
no,
I?
No, I'm fine. Actually, I am. No, I'm fine. Oh, it's so nice to see you. Yeah. No, I'm fine, Helen. No, fine. And it's just awful. And poor old Lee, who always
tries to... We've all been there.
All been there. But I just thought it was really, really smart what they did.
Yeah.
And there was excellent Elizabeth being Elizabeth being a bitch, being the queen. It's unbelievable again, the way...
She's even more childish when she's got a cold. And she's like,
I loved her cold. When Natasha sounds like sexy honey when she's got a cold. And and you're right, Elizabeth just sounds like a
Violet
little girl.
Elizabeth Bott. I will scream and
I really loved her cold, though. There was something cute about it. Oh no, but this was the funniest bit. I recorded this. Because you know when, I just didn't really understand all that. Why did they have to go to the pub quiz? But then when...
It was an olive branch.
Yes, the olive.
As she pointed out.
And I loved the fact that David would go, you'd like to come, wouldn't you, Elizabeth? Yeah, two brains. But then this was so funny because Elizabeth's reaction to David telling them that Ruth is going out.
I'm just worried there won't be enough of us. Ruth's out with Stella that night.
Where?
Cinema.
Where? What? Where? This is impossible. Ruth! Out!
What do you mean, out? Out, out! She's out at last with Stella! My God, that was a long time coming.
Where? Where? It was just such a funny reaction. Where? Ruth never goes out. That was quite funny. And but the what did you think about the volunteering shenanigans?
Tediosity.
Well, it's their first day. Why would you change the route on your first day?
Just the stroppiness. The thing about Oliver is that he does just he just gets on with stuff. He doesn't ever do "Don't you know who I am?" And then that made him sound a bit "Don't you know who I am-y," I think.
Yes, it made him sound like Justin.
Yeah.
This week, again, I kept getting Justin and Oliver mixed up because if Oliver's not playing that sort of like sweet old docile man in the chair, he can get a bit Justin-y, can't he? He got highfalutin.
Oliver's Justin after he's cleared his throat. I think that's the way.
That's right. But it's just a bit confusing, isn't it? Because they've obviously gone from two or three volunteers to now they've got about 15 and the volunteers don't, they clearly have too many volunteers,
especially considering there's only three bedrooms.
I mean,
is it like five to a room, do you think? Every time you take a step, there's another volunteer guy leaps out in front of you and says, "Would you like me to show you this chair?" "No thank you, I'm fine."
But Neil has a real job.
Yeah.
So why would he want to spend his day folding up buggies?
Yeah.
And I just thought it was outrageous that
that
Freddie would sort of just go, "Oh, you can just be on the cloakroom."
Yeah.
Just so disrespectful. And then
Elizabeth going, "It's his day off."
Oh, my God. "No, I can't do it. I've got a very important meeting.
With my manicurist."
Exactly. And then she was like, "Well, you just have to sort it out yourself. You know, she would just have to do it." And she was so rude to them. And then when she dismissed them, she went, "Oh, well, it didn't go so badly. Oh, you can go home now."
Yeah.
She said, and it was just unbelievably rude when they'd taken a school trip.
Yeah.
Like, there would be a paid person. I mean, I know there was the school's coordinator, but if the school's coordinator hadn't showed up, Elizabeth would have done it, or Freddie would have had to have come in. You can't, in fact, two old men who aren't DRP checked.
Yeah, exactly.
Taking a school
around. You can't even look at a child without having 24 proofs of identity and everything else now. Not that I'm saying that's wrong. I'm just saying it's extremely unlikely that two old duffers would just be allowed to.
Elizabeth is is just such lady of the manor that, "Oh no, I can't possibly do it because I've got a very important accountant has booked me lunch at Cesare's and I've already pre-ordered my starter, so I just can't. So rude, wasn't it?
Yeah, it really was. And
they had to basically, she went, "Oh, you can go home now." And they went, "Oh, thank you, Miss Elizabeth."
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, my lady. Thank you.
Yeah, they sort of
bowed back away. Yeah.
I know it's a brilliant concept, the whole putting the volunteers into Lower Loxley, but it's a bit far-fetched.
It is, partly because the problem
Neil wouldn't do it on his day off.
No, he really wouldn't.
Susan wouldn't allow it.
So exactly, Susan would have a great deal to say about that.
Oh God, yeah.
There's something about I like it when the feudalism. When we lose that, when things merge. So when you have characters like Oliver who's, you know, shacked up with the Grundys. And
exactly.
When you don't have this ridiculous, I am a better person than you simply because I have a larger house. And we seem to have just gone sailing straight back into that again and everybody gladly going along with it.
And it just adds insult to injury when you go, "Oh, well, make sure you check with Freddie next time."
Yes, exactly.
And then you
My ex-convict drug dealing 19-year-old twonk.
It is horrible. I just really...
Yeah, but then I cringe inside out.
I thought, because actually I did think, "Oh, this is I liked the fact that they'd mistook the thing for a pro, and yeah. It was a primary school, and then I thought, oh good, oh we're gonna, this is gonna be really funny, and then they shortchanged us because we didn't hear the, that could have been really funny, I thought,
yeah,
having the them sort of you know, battling against a group of year sixes,
yeah,
because if I the all the year sixes I know, if they'd stood in front of Oliver and Neil doing that thing about the unicorn, I don't think they'd have been, I think they'd have been laughing for the
it's
wrong
not the
reasons.
Pantomime chaps, they don't
it is a unicorn horn, kiddos. Who knows what a unicorn,
all the year sixes
is?
Would be quietly robbing the shop while he's standing there yakking on about unicorn horns.
And the teacher would just be like, are they DLB checked?
Yeah.
Because that one looks weird. But I thought it was a shit. Like, either have that, do play that episode, or, but yeah, maybe they just,
I mean, even if they did it in a sort of a Joyce Grenfell style, with the sort of, you know,
coming in and out of the sort of storeroom going, oh then that one just did, exactly.
I mean, everyone knows what the sort of casting restrictions are, so no one was expecting a 30 strong cast of year sixes, but you know, just to have,
and all the actors have got kids, they can just send in a few sort of unicorn, well they wouldn't, over year sixes, just grumpy old, they're basically teenagers,
yes, oh my god,
horrible,
yes, but yeah, it was way year three, maybe year two or three, year three, they'd have got away with that unicorn horn shit. That's somebody that hasn't been near
and what is
small
that?
Children for a
is
very
it,
long time.
Is it really is a tooth from, why have they got a tooth from a gnarl, from a
whale?
Because
they did a lot of ocean, in their, when they were slaving, they did a lot of...
on their slave ships,
yes.
They caught some whales at this. Yes. They were whaling and slaving.
Yes.
Bloody hell.
Yes.
This
yes.
is awful.
Yep.
Oh my god, that Lower Loxley shall be shot down immediately.
They were probably responsible for the world's first 18th century nuclear power station as well, or something. The hydrant H-bomb. Ye just... oldie H-bomb.
I'm having a very important meeting with my sensitivity cord. I mean my my sensitive masseur. I mean my, oh god.
I think one of the problems that we have with anything to do with Lower Loxley is that none of us, for everybody here, has got a clear idea of what the hell it looks like. No. Because we know it's got two bedrooms or three bedrooms or something.
And a scullery and a ballroom. And a place to put your buggies. I think you put your buggies in the scullery, actually, don't you?
Okay, yeah. But...
what is?
Is I mean... it's always very vague about what period it is. So we don't know whether it's half-timbered, Jacobean, Victorian, you know, gables, twiddly bits. What is it? It could have flipping minarets on it, for all I know.
I sort of imagining it a bit... I imagine it... what's the style? A bit like... is it Queen Anne? I always think it's that sort of era. But clearly it's a lot older than that.
But Queen Anne's were quite sort of small. They were sort of more in-town places, not big old country piles.
Right.
Oh, God, I don't know.
Well, no, but well, isn't it... what was the thing about... who was that thing?
I mean, it's not as big as Downton. But then they've never mentioned any other formal bedrooms. They've just said about the three bedrooms that the family sleep in.
Yeah, I don't think it's one of those fun places that kids genuinely like, where you go and look at the bedrooms.
Yes.
That's the only reason for going around a stately home, to look at an old bathroom and one of those nice old beds that are really high and have got curtains around them and drapery.
Yeah, and a chamber pot if you can find one, causes much hilarity.
And oh no, they have got the chamber pot, haven't they?
Oh, they have, yes.
Yeah, so they must have gone in a bedroom.
There's a Lady Charlotte's chamber pot. Or Lady Girl.
Yeah, Oliver's like, I didn't know what to say about the chamber pot. We'll just... yes, it is not explained enough.
No, it really isn't. So whenever we go to Lower Loxley, I'm just like, la, 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 because I just haven't got a picture in my head. So I just suspend disbelief. And to me, it's like a sort of magical, mythical theme park. Ye olde Britain, as imagined by American.
Because if it is, it sounds like it's basically run completely by volunteers, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is taking the mickey.
Yeah.
Because Elizabeth has to be a little bit raking it in, doesn't she?
I don't know. I don't understand. I don't know how much any of these things.
No,
I just don't. It's way, way too vague. And it's not like anything. Well, for most of us, none of us can really relate. So we don't, we can't kind of fill in the gaps in our head because it's just completely out of our experience.
It, I also was wondering this week what the Grundy setup is at the moment. Because the Grundy, the Eddie and Carrie are obviously living on. At Oliver's, now Oliver's.
Yeah.
And Emma and Ed are still in the caravan?
Yes, Little Grange.
And where's Will now then?
Little Grange.
Is he still in that cottage?
Yes.
Because Georgie said, oh, it's weird that you all live together. It did they, but maybe he didn't. Maybe he just meant Ed and Emma and the Grundys sort of all living on the same land.
Yeah.
I thought that was quite interesting, wasn't it? Because it's
and I'm
good.
Really glad they did that because to just pretend, la la la, everything's fine. It isn't. And it is the kind of thing that you would have the piss ripped for at school.
Oh, God, yeah. Although I feel like it was well, I think going back a bit, it probably was less, it just wasn't quite as different as it is now, is it?
You what?
Know, back, well, you know, if you grew up in the countryside, it wasn't. So weird to have, you know, a dad who might be your uncle or your, you know,
well,
your mom. I mean, but I feel, but nowadays, you know, when the countryside was smaller, you know, we've all, well, most of us who grew up in the country, there's always one village.
There is always one family. Yeah.
Well, one village usually.
Yeah.
Where everybody is related. Yeah.
And within that one village, there's one family.
Yeah.
And everybody you meet is either married to or has got the surname, whatever.
And they've all got the same nose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And but that's probably now that we're all sort of a bit more intermingled. Oh, no, but that would make it worse, wouldn't it, if we were?
Yes, there should be a stop with the mingling. Less mingling.
But of course, Georgie, would have had the piss ripped. Mm. And that was very...
Yeah.
And then maybe that was a little bit of an explanation as to why he's such a shit.
Mm.
Because actually his family circumstances are not great.
Yeah.
And he's probably, you know, if he's held that, if he's sort of had to deal with that.
the stigma. And
the stigma.
Just the confusion as well. And I think there's always.
Well, it was really sad. I thought it was really sad when he said to Will, You she made you weak, or would say that, wouldn't you? Because you're weak, and why aren't you humiliated? You know, you should be humiliated.
Mm.
And I thought that was really sad, actually, that he was angry with his dad for putting up with it. And
I think we are going down a sort of incel route with Georgie.
Oh, what does that mean?
Oh, incel is involuntary celibate. So the incel movement is massive everywhere, particularly in Europe and UK. And it's men who fit, not very young men, like teenagers, who watch pillocks like Andrew Tate, the one in the Romanian jail at the minute, and think that feminism is what's responsible for them not getting a date.
Oh, my God.
Rather than the fact that they're
just not very nice.
They don't know how to deal with women. They're very, very socially awkward.
Oh,
but rather than taking responsibility and being open
women.
To learning, they just blame women.
Oh, God. Do you think he's going to... Yeah,
I think
he's not...
that could well be. Because of the way he was with Fallon.
Yeah.
The way...
Love. He's confused,
you know,
though, then, he's, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's sad, actually. I feel a bit sorry for Georgie, even though I can't stand the little beggar.
Yeah.
As they called him.
Cheeky little beggar.
So, if your parents go, oh, like taxis would be really expensive.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you just go, don't worry about it. I'll just, you know, I mean, it was all very sad and awkward, actually.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, but that's quite interesting. Yeah. I mean,
and also Will and Ed are just, they just don't get it. They're completely oblivious to it and they genuinely don't see there's actually a little bit of an issue here.
Well, they except that they did about 5 years ago, because it always was a big deal, wasn't it? Mm. It was always, and they weren't friends. Weren't they only reconciled when, probably when Nick died and then when Will
yeah.
shot himself and unfortunately, and it didn't work. But that's sort of when they were reconciled, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yes.
So quite recently, which is why I still find them being nice to each other a bit.
I still wait for the row the whole time. I wait
exactly.
for, you know, here we go.
Yeah. Because, yeah, I mean, I really respect the fact that Will doesn't now say to Ed, it's nothing to do with you, he's my son.
Yeah.
But, it's good that they found this harmony, but it's a bit weird, isn't it?
Yes. For those of us who are used to them being a certain way, it is disquieting.
It is. I think I prefer it when they're at each other's throats, actually. And why would you, as you said, Lucy, considering George's last venture was getting Brad to try and make meth or whatever, why would you then want to give him... And they knew that as well. Didn't Will or Ed,
Oliver?
You know?
Oliver didn't, presumably.
No, but I mean, wouldn't you go, whoa, Oliver?
Yeah.
Let's just have a little, maybe let's...
Just a book token, you know. 20 quid's fine. If you really want to, give him a Hollister voucher. 30 quid tops is fine. He could get a sleeve of a sweatshirt for that. That's great. Brilliant.
I mean, apart from the fact that he's writing an essay on
he's shown interest in one titchy aspect of one part of farming, and Oliver's treating him like he's, you know, Einstein, and, you know, he's got to be indulged.
Also,
and I
thought he was, the last we knew, he was sort of having a love-in with Martin Gibson.
Mm.
So he was...
Yes, he was, wasn't he? Yeah.
That hasn't really been mentioned since, has it? You know, no. Neil was upset because... He was sort of, you know, laughing at him and saying, I want to be like Martin.
Grandma, nanner. Did you know that we have a, well, you don't know because I've only just made it up, mm-hmm. but we have a resident Ambridge on the Couch archivist.
Oh,
did
that's
you know this?
So useful.
Yes.
Archiving Ambridge on the Couch.
No, it is James Everett. He the Everetts. And
it's an archivist.
Archivist. So he manages to find clips that match up with, that make sense of storylines going on now.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So he sent us two clips.
And I still don't know how he's doing this.
To
where
explain.
He's getting it from.
Yeah. Well, this is from 2010, I think. Mm-hmm. Possibly. No,
history.
Maybe not. And it's Georgie.
Yeah.
Oh. And he said, I'm hoping it's Georgie. And he said, this explains a lot. So listen to this.
Oh, yeah.
So, you like that, do you, fella?
Oh, yes. Oh. Why did you miss all my birthdays?
George, you shouldn't ask things like that.
My work took me away.
This is
did
Clive.
You were a burglar?
George, who told you that?
I don't remember. Were you? With a big sack and a black mask?
Oh, something like that.
Look, if you
But it was very naughty of me. I realise that now. So... I'm not going to do it again.
Well, that's a shame.
No, it isn't.
Mom is right.
So.
Oh, that's so funny.
He's always been a wrong'un. And there's another one that backs it up. Wait one second.
But so that cute. Was a bad thing.
I wish I could be a burglar when I grow up.
No. No, George. It was.
There. See? So he wants to be a burglar and he looks up to Uncle Clive, who's just been released from prison after armed robbery.
Whoa, so they cast him as a baddie even 10 years ago.
Foreshadowing.
Oh, poor, he sounded so sweet and innocent, poor Lovey. And the scriptwriters just put a big black cross on his head.
Baddie, they said.
Georgie, baddie.
James also sent me one of the most bizarre clips I've ever heard. I have absolutely no idea what this relates to. Listeners, if you have any idea, he says it relates to Lillian being the grey man, but that's because, or Victoria, because Lillian is adopting an extremely strange accent. Rachel Atkins, who played Vicky Tucker, is also in this clip, but not playing Vicky Tucker.
Oh, right.
I am totally confused as to what the blimmin' heck is going on. I sound like Eddie. Blimmin' heck, Clary Love. But just listen to this and see if you can make head or tail of it, right?
Okay.
Brace yourself.
Mm-hmm. So, Simone Trigorin, can you tell us where you were at 2 o'clock this afternoon?
Yeah, madam. I was riding past the church when the clock struck two. I remember because my horse, Tomboy, the clock, it made him shy.
Okay.
And did you see anyone else around at the time?
Nine, I don't think so.
What in God's name was going on then?
Oh my God. What did she call her at the beginning?
No, that was Vicky Tucker saying, I'm Simone,
Vicky, Rachel.
Rachel saying, I'm Simone da 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 from like a new, she was like, you're supposed to be a journalist, I think, interviewing her.
Oh my God.
What was going on with the whole thing of that clip, Lucy?
But
cuckoo.
What year was that?
What year was it?
Well, I think it was 2010.
What? I don't remember any. I don't remember. That feels like we should be able to remember that far back.
Well, I don't know whether, because I was wondering, was it after the custard gate and the villagers were pretending that they didn't know anything and no one had seen anything?
What custard gate?
Yeah, Helen stabbing Rob.
No, but what? Oh, and Lillian was just sort of
was
like...
was pretending to be somebody rather than just saying no comment. She decided to play the unlikely role of a Swiss maidchen.
Do you think she was wearing some sort of, you
Dirndl.
Know, kinky
yes.
yeah. lederhosen yeah. dress type thing?
Yeah.
Hmm, that is most strange, Lucy. I feel that we have to delve a little deeper
yes.
into that
Answers
history.
On a postcard, please, ladies and gentlemen. If anyone has a sodding clue what is going on
this is a really
this.
Fun game. Can James send
what
other random
What the hell
clips?
Was happening here? Yes.
Can we just hear a tiny bit more of her doing that? I really liked it.
Yeah. Yes. Hold on, please. I will just press the button.
Can you tell us where you were at 2 o'clock this afternoon?
Yeah, madam. I was riding past the church when the clock struck two. I remember because my horse, Tomboy, the clock, it made him shy.
Okay.
And did you see anyone else around at the time?
Nine, I don't think so. Uh-huh.
I love the fact that when she said Tomboy, yeah. she went back into being Lillian. Mine a horse, Tomboy.
Tomboy is a long time ago.
Right.
Because that was because she's had Amir and Aziz for ages since she's been with Justin, hasn't she?
Please, someone know the answer to that.
But it is
I'm
to
sure
up,
Michael Gorman will know the answer to that.
Yep.
I loved that. James, please just send weird clips and we have to guess what the prayer is going on. That will just keep me entertained for weeks now.
I know.
I love it.
So odd.
Because that's the thing, isn't it? The internet is good, but if you typed in...
I think it'll catch on, personally. I know some people aren't convinced, but
If you typed in to Google... why did Lillian do a
why
funny
bloody hell
Dutch
Lillian
accent?
Playing strange yeah.
on Tom why Lillian yeah. on Dutch Tomboy
whoa I'm not putting that into Google, forget it. Lillian mounts Tomboy.
Lillian mounts Austrian Dutch hybrid
stallion
Tomboy. / Rachel Atkins. Who is the guy? Some Archer's actor playing a reporter.
It sounded like Neil because he went, yeah. which is kind of quite a Neil thing, isn't it?
What did you think of Alice this week? Did you want to?
I think Alice needs to get a life.
Oh
really.
My God. So I think someone needs to have a little word with Chris.
Yeah.
And just say, can you just. Find someone to take her out.
Yeah,
get
or maybe
Ruth
just
to take
pop
her
over
out to the cinema.
You don't have to look at her. Just pop over. You know, just
put the telly on for her or something.
Yes, yes.
Just stop. All she does is groom horses and and making follow weird her dad noises. Around. And then, if I was Brian, you just feel like it must be so hard.
Next week,
he'll
have taken out a restraining
slap.
Order.
Oh, my gosh, he's so. And the amount of times he has to go, no, I just want to be on my own.
I did like the fact that every single member of his family accused him of shagging somebody already when his wife is barely, you know. Cold.
I can't believe Brian is now cooking them Sunday lunch. Brian must just have gone to bed tonight going, what the hell happened?
Yeah, yeah.
I was trying to have a bit of independence.
Yes.
Get my life back. And now I'm cooking and Sunday lunch.
Not
them.
Only are they all coming over again, I'm cooking.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
What a way to, sort of serves him right, doesn't it? But
Jenny is
God.
Up in heaven going, ha! Serves you right, you philandering git.
Yeah, but Alice, get a life.
And also, if my toddler was calling her father Daddy Doodat, I'd be thinking, okay, there's a little bit of a power imbalance here and this should not be happening.
Martha is such a brat.
Yeah. Daddy, get that. Do that. Sit there.
Do that. Do that. Oh, it must be horrible. Horrible. When Alice just went, oh, she's fab. I wanted to give her a little.
She's one of those children that you just want to drown.
She's amazing. Auntie Lillian. Oh, whoa, boy. Oh, come on, darling. Oh,
would you like some?
This.
Would you like some brush polish? You like this, don't you? I was thinking, what exactly is she massaging there?
It did sound like they were massaging each other and it got a bit icky, didn't it? There wasn't enough whinnying to remind us that
Alice
in a hammam.
Alice, love the horse. Do the horse, Chris. Oh, you really need to do something about this, darling.
Oh, this is good. Let's ask Brian if he wants to join us. Oh yes. Oh, what's that noise? Because you can't really hear it because it's an electric.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
What is there is a noise, but it's a very quiet noise.
I love the fact that they were creeping around Ambridge, terrified they were going to run out of battery and have to just abandon their car in the middle of the bypass. So it was like, I reckon they had the house in sight the whole way around. Just go round the drive again, Justin. I'm too scared. We'll just have to leave it in the rose bushes until we get the new thing fitted.
Oh, well, they should just put it all in. Because Justin said, oh, we need to get one in our front garden, a charger. Well, just put them all in there then.
Yeah,
so much easier, Justin. And then you can just sell that bit of land back for something else.
Also, here's a radical idea. Why doesn't Jim and David just ask Justin if he's involved?
I know.
They could, couldn't they?
Or ask Lillian. I mean,
how many times? Do you ever get the impression that, you know, like a cut and paste job where there's certain letters or certain, like when you said, if you go for a job and they say, can you tell us a bit about yourself? And you just cut and paste the block of text.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Tell us one thing about you. That,
yeah.
Yeah. And I am a very, I sometimes work too hard.
Mm-hmm. I sometimes lie on CVs. I get the distinct impression that there are certain blocks of Archer's script that just get hauled out again. The name's changed and it's exactly the same bit of script. So one is, well, Dad, let's see how you manage with a Sunday lunch. It might not be as easy as you think. We've had it with David. We've had it with Neil. Now we've had it with Tony.
There, isn't it?
Now we're having it with Brian. And we've also got Lillian forever saying, darling, why didn't you tell me?
Yeah,
you could have just told me. Over and over and over again.
Yeah, it's just weird.
It's the same storyline. Lillian kept in dark as Justin doing something nefarious. Lillian kept in dark as Matt doing something nefarious.
Yeah, it's also, that's the trouble. Cause
it's just lazy. Because
I guess with a business like Justin's, I mean, they're in it together,
because we all know
they?
What that is, don't we?
But do Lillian and Justin have their own company? They
Lillian's
do,
is Amside, which is just her.
And Damara is just what his. Justin's...
Yeah.
Is it his business or is he just on the board
he's part,
of that?
He's on the board, I think.
I mean, I don't ask Reef. I mean, all Rufus does is just tick things on a questionnaire, I think. But you don't need to
know.
Is he
one of those people that stands outside Tesco and saying, could I just ask you?
I think he quite liked to be, actually.
Oh.
Today he went, there was this, long boring story, but this salesman called me up about something that I was agreeing to. And he's such a proper old school salesman, and he kept going, oh, good girl, we'll write that down. And we had the most patronising, and every time he said, good girl, a little bit of me sung, but I thought it's not his fault, he just is from another era. And when I put the phone up, Rufus went, oh, I wish I could be an old school sexist and misogynistic salesperson.
It's so much
life
easier.
Life would be so much easier. Because you sort of forgive people like that because, you know, he probably hasn't done any training courses and he's a bit older and, you know, I mean, to be called good girl, for someone to, you know, I mean.
My friend Sarah is my hero.
Oh, yeah.
She told me this week, she's got a very old van and Sarah's my dog walker.
Right.
And you can
Lady
tell
Elizabeth.
You can tell when she's pulled up outside because the van just, you hear the rattle over the engine. You don't hear the engine. You just hear all the bits of metal whacking into each other. And then she doesn't sort of turn it off. It just stops dead. And so you know the van's there. And sometimes it goes again and sometimes it doesn't. But anyway, this time it did. But she managed to get it to the garage. And the bloke said, he was about 60 and she's 30 and she got out the car and he said, right, let's have a look here. And he said, I think it might be the blah, blah, blah. And she said, oh dear, that sounds expensive. And he said, you want to get yourself a sugar daddy.
What?
And she thought, right,
what?
Well, I don't like you, but anyway, we'll see if you can fix this. And then he said, get in the car and turn the engine on. And it was something to do with the brakes. And she said, do you want me to press the brakes? And he said, just do as you're told.
Oh, no, you're actually joking.
And she put her head out the window and shouted, shut the fucking bonnet, and drove off, narrowly missing his foot as she went.
Wow. That is amazing. Because if it had been me, I would have just gone, okay.
Yes, thank you.
Anything at all? Would you like a biscuit? Wow. Good for her.
Yeah.
But that's the thing, isn't it? I didn't realise that people sort of still exist like that, but of course they do, because not everybody is up with the new times, Lucy.
And I guess
it's like older people, you know, haven't moved quite as quickly in that sort of not being completely sexist.
Well, as Rufus said, why would you change? It's a hell of a lot easier to never, ever have to change your opinions or your attitudes about anything and just say, I'm too old to change and stay like that.
But it's surprising, isn't it? Because you think you must miss out on work because a lot of people are going to find your sort of, you know, he was doing it to be sweet and kind, I think, not to patronise me. But of course, I am not.
So we'd have said
seven.
Good boy to Rufus, for example.
Rufus might have quite liked that.
He just said, thank you.
I think it might have soothed him. Maybe that's a new technique.
Good boy, Rufus. Good boy.
Very well done. Have you put your signature? Oh, good boy. Good boy. And then he said, now what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to, have you got a printer? And I said, yeah. And he went, well, you got to print it out and then you're going to sign it and then you're going to take a photo of it and send it back to me. And I said, well, I can't just sign it digitally. And he went, what? I went, I'll just mark it up. I'll just sign it digit. Mm. And no, you're going to print it out.
And I was like, you're going to do what I said.
Yeah. Oh, good girl. Anyway, I did it. I did it all, Liz. I did exactly
you
what you said.
You are a good girl, aren't
He's
you, Harriet?
Send me some stickers.
Oh.
No, but it's pretty gross, isn't it? Oh. But then, you know, he's a nice guy. So I just forgave him. And I think if you are harmless and you're doing it in a harmless way, is it okay?
It's not harmless. No, it's not okay. You know what really? I'm going to say about this.
What is it? Is it that thing what you said?
Yeah, it's that thing what I said, isn't it? It's also the modern gen. Not all men. Hashtag not all men. Before you all start going, I don't know. What I see, because I work with lots of different companies and do lots of different things, and I see sexism in all kinds of insidious ways, being shown, demonstrated in all kinds of insidious ways. So yes, they might stop calling secretaries darling, and they might stop, you know, a bit of casual groping in the lift, but they still talk about the girl behind the counter when she's 32. Where they wouldn't say the boy behind the counter if he was 32. They still do things like she's 50, so, you know, she might be struggling to cope at the moment, means menopause, which means, oh, goody, we can get rid of her.
Oh, no.
She's not coping, you know. All that stuff. It's all there. It's just being presented in a different way.
But if it's just superficial, like calling someone, I think his good girl was a bit like calling me darling, which I know isn't very professional, is it? But I think it was more of an affectionate thing rather than a...
But he was being affectionate to you because he was in a position of power. You're a woman. He would also have been in a position of power with Rufus, and he wouldn't have said good boy.
I think when I said I've got to go now because I've got a job stuff, I think he's... was a bit taken aback. Assumed I didn't work. And
I had a plumber once who said to me, I had a plumber who said to me once, I'll be with you sometime between 8 and 1. And I said, no, I really need to know when. And he said, why? What else are you doing?
Oh, Lucy, no.
Yeah.
God. People, eh, Lucy? People. Well, men. I'm suddenly worried that he's actually listening. Craig, if you're listening, you're a great guy. And I'm so glad we went with you. Thank you for your help.
Silly ass. The chances of him listening.
I feel he was a nice guy. I feel really bad slagging him off. But if you are going to talk to another woman who is over the age of 7 slash 12, just try not to say good girl. Try not to say it. Thanks.
Yes. Okay. Yes. How did we get onto this?
How did we get onto this? Were we talking about Georgie?
Us women, eh?
And I can't even remember.
No, so silly. I started thinking about hairspray halfway through that, and now I can't remember.
Don't know.
Anyway, I'm now in trouble with the gays as well as the straight men, so I'm doing
God,
really
Lucy.
Well.
And now next you're going to be in trouble with the non-feminists.
Yeah. Well, I don't take any notice of them.
Incels.
Intel, that's what's in your computer.
Inmates.
The inmates, yeah.
Oh, God.
Right, this is from Lonnie, who is Witherspoon.
He Hello. Says,
because I was saying last week that I felt like the scriptwriters were going through every single gay trope and going, musical theatre, tick, tick, yeah. You know, Eurovision, drag, Eurovision, love it all. He said, unless I'm misinterpreting what you and Mr. Newby said about Paul, I have to disagree with your take. As a gay man in the heart of gay Manhattan, doesn't that sound fabulous?
Yes, it does.
Being in the heart of gay Manhattan just sounds brilliant. I am loving Paul more and more. It is perfectly okay for Paul to embrace some positive stereotypes, such as loving musical theatre, as well as being a kind, empathic and animal-loving human being. He even converted Justin into being an LGBTQ ally. Yeah. Didn't really, though, did he? Because Justin still wasn't quite sure what he'd signed up for.
It was funny when Lilia went, oh, you could be that one. You know, the one that's really
the boring
dull.
One. It was totally okay for him to lightly flirt with Harrison. He backed off as soon as Harrison told him he was straight. A welcome antidote to anti-fun Adam and Ian. That, yes, yeah, totally.
I agree. I don't think there's anything wrong with him. I mean, him and Harrison were having flirty bants.
Yes.
And then he realised that Harrison wasn't gay, but it wasn't a big deal. I just thought that
It never crossed Harrison's mind that there might be something else going on as well, which was quite...
And most of the actors I work with who are gay love musical theatre, but I think that's more to do with the fact they're actors. And so maybe
they just love anything that they've got a chance of having a part in.
It's part of Paul's personality rather than sexuality, isn't it?
Yeah.
That he loves, music and dancing and sequins and, you know.
I was just a bit concerned because it just felt like...
Yes, I know.
Could we not just go through the list?
Yeah.
You know, it just felt like they were whacking everything in. Bam, 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 you know.
Yeah.
Anyway, he also said that I was 100% right about Jim and David and Mr. Newby was not. So, to Mr.
What,
Newby.
Do you fancy them?
No! No, not Jim. Well, I probably will do when I'm 20
years
time.
I think you will. Yeah. I think you and Jim will end up together.
Yeah. That I said that Jim was being an absolute arse.
Yes.
But now, of course, Jim has climbed down.
I know, but Jim's just being a bit tedious, really, isn't he?
Really.
I mean, just as you said, just go and ask Justin.
I love the fact that it's now like listening to a really inadequate true crime podcast with them trying to track down
people. That was so funny tonight when they were like,
and he said, hello, Justin! We've got him!
And look, when I went onto the company's house website, I was like, oh, this isn't as fun as a Miss Marple.
No, nobody's dead. And it's
didn't have to get a steam train to London.
No.
And they didn't have to open a suitcase or anything.
And nobody was wearing a really nice hat.
They just went on Google.
Yeah, I know.
I know, I was disappointed.
But bless them, though. They were so pleased with themselves, weren't they?
Yeah, they were.
I mean, for those of us who are freelance, we Google everybody all the time because we want to make sure that our client isn't just about to go bust owing us $4,500, which has just happened to me. But anyway, there we are.
Lucy, is always happening to you.
I know. I'll pick them. Right. This is Daniel Millichip, another gay man who's crossed with me. I must say, it's rather nice to have a male character with some more classic gay stereotypes and femininity. I also love karaoke, Eurovision, and flirting with married policemen. I really don't think it's a problem, as this is genuinely what some people are like, myself included.
Yes,
I think it's too easy to get worried that it's a stereotype and therefore offensive. I wasn't worried that it was a stereotype and offensive. I was worried that the scriptwriters had a list that, like, downloaded what gay men like, and we're just going through it.
I just think Paul is a person like me and Daniel and Witherspoon who likes musical theatre. And if you like musical theatre, generally everything else comes with that, doesn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
Loving everything else comes with it.
Yeah.
Including loving Harrison.
Yeah. Yeah.
See, I don't speak Italian.
He's such a twat. Daniel Millichip again. We've had 4 emails from Daniel Millichip this week.
Daniel, go and hoover the living room.
He misheard crock barn for crack barn and thought that was where Freddie was getting it from. And then, unlikely relationships, he says, have Lizzie and Jimus ever spoken before? I'm sure a kind, better seasoned listener or presenter might be able to educate me on why on earth they would be at a pub quiz together. Lizzie and Jimus were there. This is the second time in 2 weeks we actually know the answer, Harriet. This is a record.
Oh, yeah.
They were there because Jimus offered David a place on his quiz team as a sort of olive branch. Lizzie was sniggering away at the idea of David being offered a olive branch. So to get her back, David said, ha ha, Lizzie, you can come too, can't you?
But I think Daniel didn't mean literally, just meant what on earth was she doing there? Why would she?
Oh,
she would have made an excuse, wouldn't she?
Yes, she would. She would. But
then she couldn't because David trapped her.
Yes.
Because Ruth was going out.
Oh, no, now you've ruined my... I thought I was doing...
Oh, sorry, Lucy. No, because I think it was obvious. Because if you'd listened to the Archers this week, you know. I mean, maybe Daniel didn't listen. He was too busy writing to us. He wasn't listening to the archers.
And being gay and doing gay things with a lot of enjoyment. So, you know.
Feather dustering, perhaps, instead of hoovering.
Feather dusting.
No, I think, I assume, maybe I'm wrong, maybe Daniel meant it, well, literally. No, I think, as in, why? She just wouldn't go, would she?
No.
But she, except that, yeah, David gave her no choice, basically.
Oh, fuck off, David. I'm not going to no bloody quiz, she'd have said.
Well, she was being annoying, wasn't she, to David? Because she was going, she was really angry in that scene, but maybe that's because of her cold.
Yes.
She
we all get a
really
bit
impatient,
don't we? when you every time you smile, your lips crack and your nose is just red all the time.
Oh,
and,
God. Yeah. You just need a tissue.
Your eyes are all bleary and you hate everybody. Yeah, I can understand that. Steve Barry, this is about the freezer gate. You know that we had all the freezer stuff with everybody saying if they died tomorrow, all everyone would be able to eat would be chicken stock forever.
Some funny freezer gate stories.
Steve Barry says, dear Cooper and lovely, if only semi-competent associates, may I congratulate the team on the production standards this week? A triumph! I think he's being sarcastic. I don't know about you.
Well, Lucy, it was a triumph in that you sat in front of a microphone for about 3.5 hours.
It was my fault that it didn't record in the first place, though.
Didn't I offer to re-record?
I did. Ladies and gentlemen. She was a proper trooper.
I had to go to Buckinghamshire/Berkshire, didn't I? Not skiing, Lucy. I have to go skiing again.
All right, Judith. Let's not start that again. Anyway, he said, freezers are a magical thing. In our house, the question of what are we having to eat is met by the reply, brown. It might be bolognese, savoury mince, curry, stew, casserole. Who knows? It is all an exciting adventure.
Brown.
With regards to Jim, I'm with Lucy. He was an absolute arse. David and Ruth have acted in good faith and the placards that they were going to get published in the paper were surely libelous. Possibly they could have put a covenant on the use of the land after the sale, but this may not have been upholdable anyway and would just have slowed Justin down a bit. I'm not sure how big a plot of land it is, but they're going on about it like it's going to be the size of Disneyland. NIMBY doesn't come close, he says. Yes.
And it's just a few plugs.
Yeah.
That's all it is.
I've got visions, but when I try and imagine it, because I'm not very good at imagining technical things.
Or stately homes.
Or stately, yes. I'm clearly very, very uncreative person. You know those, when you have, in really dangerous university accommodation, where you have those really long adapters with about 14 plug sockets on them and everyone's plugged in at least 12 things into each adapter.
Oh, I love one of those.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. It's just going to be one of them. And everyone plugs their own little bit. Yeah, everyone just plugs their own little bit in and then has to go off and walk round a field for 45 minutes while it charges up.
Looking for the mythical coffee station, of which there is none. If I was Georgie, I'd put that $5,000 into a van to rival Ian's pizza van, but a coffee van.
Anybody that in Epping Forest, I tell you, anybody that has got a port-a-loo and a coffee, there is not a part of Epping Forest I have not peed in, I'm telling you. That's why it's so green and
flourishing. Oh, I thought you meant they turned port-a-loos into coffee.
No. Things. We need port-a-loos and we need coffee.
Can't you just go in the bush?
Yeah, of course I do. But it'd be nicer to actually not pee down the back of my jeans for once.
Yeah, but imagine if you're walking through lovely Epping Forest and there's just a port-a-loo there.
No, by the car park, I mean.
Oh, okay. Is there no toilets at all?
No, there's nothing. And a little coffee van.
Oh, yes.
So that when you got back from your walk.
Oh, yes.
Oh, lovely.
I can't believe there isn't any caffeine facilities at all.
There's the, it's what's called the Ut. Which is where all the motorbike people collect on it. It's called High Beach and they all collect there on a Saturday morning.
What, are they allowed to motorbike in the forest?
Yeah, only on the roads. But it's like a tradition. It's been like that for about 60 years that all the motorbike people go to the Ut.
And they serve tea?
Yes, they do bacon sandwiches and tea and coffee at High Beach. But everywhere else, there's just nothing.
Also,
they make a fortune.
Yeah. Well, but would you?
Yes, you would.
Okay. Well, why don't you?
I would personally have most of my wages paid directly into some sort of coffee bar, so that I could cheer myself up when I'm trudging round in the pouring flipping rain at the moment. Anyway.
Yeah, but you're going to be in Wales, and there ain't going to be no coffee bars.
No.
Near where you are.
No.
Unless you turn a Portaloo into a little coffee booth.
Do you know what I would like a cup of coffee, or oh, no. like a cup of coffee is in Welsh?
Oh, no, go on.
Hoffy coffee.
Is it? I'd like a cup of coffee.
It's. I can't remember all of it, but the verb is hoffy, and it's hoffy coffee.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
Hoffy coffee.
Wow. Mm. Hoffy coffee. Wow.
Everybody will write in now and tell me I'm wrong. But anyway.
Wow.
I'm wrong and I'm gay and everything else. Anyway, Ali, not gay enough, too gay. I don't know. Alexandra Townsend has made a serious point, and I completely agree with her.
Okay, serious face.
This is Suffolk to Seattle, Alex.
Oh, yeah.
Who says, I should have stuck to my original assumption about Georgie in that he is a nasty, snivelling, sinister shite.
Yes.
David, her other half, not David Archer, was correct about the situation with Fallon, hinting at something else going on, and to think I dismissed him. Not an expert in this field as yet with a 2-year-old son, but I think it is pretty realistic in that Fallon had to advocate for herself for Ed and Will to take this more seriously. A big wake-up call for all involved.
Yeah.
She's talking about the incel stuff. As for the Tom Nokasha saga, I hope nothing but the worst for them. I cannot express sufficiently how much I loathe them, especially Tom.
Oh, that she, Natasha, bringing Natasha in was a stroke of genius, wasn't it?
It was. Because if you'd bought in Kirsty,
yeah,
it would have been a little echo chamber of eco-niceness. Yeah. They'd have all been trundling around each other, building sodding herbaceous, whatever it is.
The earnestness. Edible.
Yes, exactly.
Thank God bringing for Natasha.
In, I've got a secret theory, that Natasha smokes. If any of the characters on the Archers were going to smoke, it would be. I mean, I know Lillian does or did. Has she given up now? We haven't heard her smoking, but I don't.
Given up.
I don't think you're allowed to. You're not allowed to hear it anymore.
Oh, come on. That can't be
right. In case we
take it off.
Lillian did it. She's cool.
What's weird? Because you just want to hear her. Some of that, don't you? But what's weird is none of the younger characters vape, neither. Georgie does. Yes, he does. Yes. Sorry.
The thing I used to love about Lillian was, probably because I used to smoke, was when she went outside, when she'd say, come on, Jenny, do you want a drink? And Jenny would go, it's a bit early for me, Lillian. She'd say, well, and then you'd hear, of her, and then you'd hear click, and then, yeah. and I thought, oh, that is Lillian relaxed.
Maybe that would trigger a little, what's the word, wanting in a person if they heard that. Maybe you're not allowed to do it.
I've got a friend who gave up smoking who can't watch Mad Men because they just smoke at least three cigarettes all at once, continually. And look amazingly sharp and cool and fantastic, and their breath doesn't smell, and they don't, you know.
They
blah, blah, blah.
Can still snog people without the other person screwing up their nose.
Without going,
ugh. Oh my God, I'm so glad people don't really smoke anymore.
Oh no.
Oh,
there's no smoke breath. Restaurants. Whoa. Imagine. Horrid.
Oh, disgusting.
Yeah. Yes. Anyway, that is the end of the emails.
Oh, thank you very much, emailist. Thanking you. Mm-hmm. And thanks to Daniel for emailing 7 times.
Message for you from Matt Rodriguez Payne.
Oh, yeah.
Can he please have a mug?
Oh, of course he can. Can he, though?
Can he, though,
of course he can. No, he can. Definitely. Doesn't it?
You go high pitched when you're lying. So by this stage, only dolphins can hear you. Can he really have a mug?
Of course he can.
Are there any mugs for him to have, Harriet? I shall rephrase it.
No, there aren't. Not yet. But there is a template.
Yes.
So all I need to do is slap it onto Vistaprint or whatever I used last time, put his name on it, done.
Okay.
I mean, it'll take me 6 weeks to get round to doing it. But as long as he doesn't expect it before May...
Well, I don't think he's got a kitchen till about Christmas, so that's
okay.
fine.
Well,
does,
great.
Does, okay.
No, that's, in fact, Matt can most certainly have one.
Certainly. Can anyone else most certainly have
they,
one?
No, they can. The only thing is, so.
Do we need like a certain order? Do we need like 20 people?
So that would be better because what is the mug isn't expensive, but the post and packaging, that's what's expensive, Lucy. You don't want to pay a tenner for a mug.
Look what happened to Helen. She got all her postage and packaging wrong, didn't she? And Susan had to help her.
They were quick, weren't they, getting a statue of a cow? Or whatever know, they're putting up on Monday. Also...
No, Bert made it, so it's been kicking around for ages. He's probably got one leg hanging off or something.
And when did this open Farm Monday? When this was only a thing this week, wasn't it?
I know.
Suddenly, they'd just gone from...
It's a window and some carrots. Yes. And they're treating it like it's the coronation.
Yeah, three trees. And then a window which wasn't going to go in. And now it's a really big deal.
To watch
poor
two
Clary and Susan.
Hot and angry ladies wearing hairnets.
What they really need, they're missing a trick not getting Neil and Oliver to volunteer.
Oh, God. And yes.
They could talk about the cow's horns or udders or whatever. Yeah. They'd be great, wouldn't they, actually? Now they've got their little double act.
Yeah.
Get them involved.
He's very engaging, my Neil.
Very. Was that the word she used?
It wasn't. I can't remember what the word
was. Oh, what was it? It was something really good. Oh, Lucy, I've got it. I can't remember what it was. It's going to come back to me. Oh, that sketch was funny last week, wasn't it?
She says really modestly.
Good. Oh, yeah, no, sorry. It wasn't me. It was the writing.
That one I was in. That was good, I was good in that one.
I enjoyed that. I think there needs to be more of that.
I just loved your sulky Clary. No! No!
That's because... This time is yesterday when her voice is shaking, Lucy.
Yeah, that's when she's easy to do. I think that might be old Clary that used to do that.
Yeah. But it's a wibble wobble voice. Come out. Helen.
Clary is a gift to all mankind.
She is. She really is.
So seasoned.
And it's but the two of them, they're just gorgeous together. They really are. It's just perfect.
Yeah, I can't wait for Monday, actually, now.
What about Sunday? Oh, Monday, the thing.
The open day.
I think there's going to be a massive showdown between
It's weird.
Natasha and the rest of the archers, and then we'll find out whether or not they're actually going to go on Monday.
Yeah, but what was it? Why are they doing it on Monday? You'd think if they were going to do it, they'd do it on the bank holiday Monday or something.
Yes, you would, wouldn't you?
Yes,
in a normal...
What is happening at Easter time in the Ambridge?
Nothing.
What is the events?
Well, Linda's too busy winning the quiz, being the Snell's Angels.
What's that Linda's team then?
I presume the Snell's Angels has got to be,
isn't it?
Do
you know what, Lucy? Because... I thought, it can't be because Robert died. But he didn't die.
He didn't die.
Oh.
He's doing the quiz. That's quite nice though, isn't it?
Yes,
Robert's
I suppose.
Doing the quiz somewhere.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah.
And now we go over to Bridge Farm, where the twins are enjoying their first photo shoot.
Hello, Natasha, is it?
That's me. Don't take anything yet. I haven't finished my eyeliner. I've gone for cat's eye with a flick. Will that work okay?
Well, I'm sure it'll look great, love, but it's the babies we're doing, isn't it? For Toxic Spill Today magazine.
Shh! Oh, for God's sake. I've told the family it's for Nuts and Seeds Gazette. They're a bit funny. You know, a bit sort of hippie. Skint, and they smell a bit natural. One hint of this, and I'll be out of this place in the back of a trailer with them throwing my Uggs at me down the lane.
Okay, love, mum's the word. Where are they then?
Who, the family? Oh, having breakfast. It takes them ages as it's all stalks and roughage. Then there's a stampede for the downstairs loo.
No, the babies, love, the little stars. Where are they?
Oh, hang on, I put them down somewhere. Are they, is that them? Oh, yes. Come on, lovies. Come and meet the photographer. Here we go.
Well, hello, girls. Oh, aren't they smashers? Neris and Shawaddy Waddy, isn't it?
No, don't be ridiculous. Nebula and Shitstorm.
Well, which one's which?
I'm never sure, to be honest. But it doesn't matter, they're only tiny. When they're bigger, we'll get to grips.
Righty-ho. Okay, let's have Nissan sitting in this upturned flower pot and Sierra looking at her from in the wheelbarrow.
You must be joking. Mucky, that is. I've got little Burberry deck chairs. Could we not use them?
Well, not really. Bit elitist. The whole point of Toxic Spill today is that toxic spills are for everyone. So we want something a bit more every man, you know.
Oh, well, you're the creative, I suppose. Fair enough. I'll be billing for the dry cleaning, though. Their dresses are suede and the little bomber jackets are proper satin.
Whatever, love. Let's just get a move on, eh? I can hear toilets flushing from the farmhouse and I don't want to be here when the clampets come out. OK, can you make them smile? Look over here.
I'll give it a go. Yoo-hoo! Norovirus! Statins! Over here! Look at Mummy!
Smashing. That should do, to be honest. Shall we call it a day?
Righto. Easiest $2,000 I ever made. They ever made, I mean. OK, I'll head off into the house and start thinking about breakfast. I'm moving them off milk at the moment, and it's a nightmare.
Oh, I'm sure.
And once I've got them sorted, I'll do the same with my husband. Come on, Noddy. Up with you, Sweep. See you. I'll invoice.
I bet you will, love. I bet you will.
Right, we've been rattling on for much too long.
Yeah, sorry, it's
this
definitely
time.
Bedtime.
Definitely bedtime.
Lucy, don't tell me. Can you just check and see if the light's flashing?
Yeah,
I just wouldn't believe you. Even if you swore, I mean,
I said to Jeff, I am going to do an hilarious April Fool's joke on Harriet and pretend that I have not done that. And he said, I think he was thinking, I can imagine Harriet swearing and having a fit.
Or just not believing you.
Yeah, which is what happened. So before we go, I just need to say something. Happened, and I think it was funny. Jeff and I went away, and we were at this hotel. And
In Jersey.
In Jersey. And there was this, there was a group of young men, one night there was a group of young men on one table who we called, I'll say we called them Wallies. We didn't, but it began with W. Of Wolf Street. Because they were
bankers.
They were just talking in billions of pounds. And
business, people.
Business. And we couldn't figure out what they were doing. And then there was this other chap who we decided was Justin and Lillian. She spent the whole time on her mobile phone. They never left the hotel. They'd do was just ask for coffee. Like another coffee, darling. And they'd have coffee, have breakfast, have coffee, have lunch, have tea, have dinner, go to bed. They didn't leave the hotel. And she was on her mobile phone just scrolling through and occasionally nudging him, showing him her mobile phone and rolling her eyes. And then he'd roll his eyes. And they didn't speak. They didn't speak to each other. Apart from when his mobile phone kept ringing and he was talking to somebody called Steve and he kept going, yup, yup. Keep ahead of it, Steve. Keep ahead of it.
Keep ahead of it,
keep
Steve.
Keep ahead of it, Steve.
Good girl.
So
it's a bit like a Miss Marple. You know when Miss Marple goes to the Caribbean or something, or anywhere, and then they pan round all the tables, don't they, at dinner, and you have the sort of
the glamorous couple. Yes, yes. You have the glamorous couple, the much older lady with the younger man, or the other way round.
Or the lady with a companion.
Yes.
Yeah. And you just get a little glimpse into a conversation they're having that just sums
and
up.
And you walk in the morning and just go, morning, hello, morning. And then wait till they've gone and then slag them off viciously.
That's the brilliant thing.
It's like driving away from a dinner party going, well, that was awful, wasn't it? I don't know.
Yeah, and then I thought she was a good cook.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, well,
the way she went on about that, you'd think it was something special. I can make that.
Yeah, and it's a shame their daughter didn't do as well as she thought she was going to do in her A-levels.
Did you see the way he looked at her when she said,
Oh, that is the beauty of of having someone to talk to.
Yes, and of being very, very nosy and observant. Yes.
I would never do that, Lucy. I think you're such a bitch.
No, I didn't do it. I was just saying I've heard it's what other people do. Anyway, shall we now do Matt, who is getting a mug in 6 weeks' time?
Matt's mug is on its way.
This is... He said we need a bit of a palate cleanser after all the stress of Jenny and everything else.
Yes, yes.
And now you're back from all your holidays.
Yes. And Buckinghamshire.
And there's a lot of mountains in Buckinghamshire.
Yes,
so he's done from the hall. It's sort of...
Has he done Ski Sunday?
No, that was last week.
Yes. I might have only listened to the first bit of
God. So you didn't hear us slagging you off then? That's good.
No, I don't like to get too deep because I know that that's coming.
Yeah.
I heard you telling Mr. Newby that you fancy David.
Did you hear us calling you Judith Chalmers?
I might have done.
You don't know who Judith Chalmers is, do you?
Yeah, of course I do.
Do you?
Holiday.
Oh, yeah. Now that's Madonna. I can see where the confusion lies, particularly after all the work she's had done. But they are different people, in effect.
No, I did hear that, but yeah.
This is the lovely, I think...
Matt did Ski Sunday last... I don't know why. Yes. I haven't listened to the end. I genuinely did.
Well, don't listen to us. Just listen to the end because Ski Sunday is magic.
Okay, fine. Okay.
And I think this is a bit of Peer Gynt we've got now.
What?
Pure Git we've got. By Matt, based on the Archer's theme. Sorry, I'm losing the plot now. I'm extremely tired. So, bye-bye, everybody.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. And it's a great relief to see that we're still recording.
Oh,
hoorah.
Thank you, Lucy. Good work.
Right, ready? I'm going to play
good
it now.
Good girl, Lucy. Good girl.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you very much to Matt Rodriguez Payne and the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra there.
Good one.
Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.